So now let us get ready to hear the word of God. It's from Matthew chapter 24, 36 through 44. You can find it in your pew Bibles too if you would like to read it. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. One woman will be grinding meal. They will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, be alert, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, the owner would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. Well, it's the first Sunday of Advent. Surely you have noticed it by now. There are the different colors in the communion cloth and in my stole. There's the Advent candle up there that was lit. There's a sign, keep alert. It's Advent. It's our new year. It means to come when we wait for the coming of Christ in our lives. It's also the new year for Christians. This is the start of our year. It's a time of new beginnings, the chance for new life once again. And in this new year, we're reading the Gospel of Matthew. That's why the passage came from Matthew today. This first Sunday of Advent, it also has another special name. It's the Advent Sunday that associate pastors call Associate Pastor Sunday. Because what happens, this has nothing to do with Jesus, the head of staff in larger churches goes on vacation and the associate pastor preaches. Now I want to tell you, I was an associate pastor for a lot of years. So when I open up my files, I was pretty sure I'd find something on Matthew. I'd never preached this passage before. I think consciously or subconsciously, I wanted to avoid this kind of apocalyptic image. I want to do something cuter and gentler. Let's do Mary and maybe Elizabeth if I have to, and Joseph, and then we can work our way to the baby Jesus. That's what I always wanted to start with. It's kind of a crowd pleaser when you get to preach once a month. But no, this is the passage that starts our new year. It's an apocalyptic writing. And so what I did when I'm a little hesitant about the scripture, I went back and did some study about it. I was reminded that Matthew is written about 80 years after the death and the resurrection of Christ. It's a dire time for Christians. The Roman rule is very hard on the people in that land. The Jewish majority in the temple has nothing, they'd want nothing to do with this sect of people who are followers of the way. And economically, it's very hard. And the followers of Christ are losing heart. It's very hard. Christ is no longer with them, and they are kind of lost. And they are asking, when is Christ coming back? See, they thought he was going to come back in their memory, or at least in the memory of someone they knew, and they are waiting. And so the writer of Matthew writes stories, records them especially for them. And so in about chapter 24, verse 4, somewhere in there, the disciples ask, what will be the sign? How will we know you're coming? And that's kind of the piece, the background for this passage. And I think, really, in some ways, it fits for a new year. Because we, as a people in this land, are a little bit without hope, too. We see war, we see recession, we hear something in North and South Korea happening again. And we long to know where God is in our lives and where God is in this situation. And we have that longing, show me the sign so I will know what is happening. This passage, this understanding of apocalyptic kind of, apocalyptic means end time passages, usually bring up two responses in people. One is anxiety and the other is apathy. Now, anxiety is those folks that want to figure exactly when God's coming. They want to read it so they can get ready, make some preparations for that. I want to give you a bit of history about this kind of thinking. It got to be very popular around 1850 by an Anglican named John Darby in Ireland. He was an Anglican priest, and he talked a lot about end time, which another word for that is eschatology. And he came up with a theory that there were seven seasons in the life of the world. And after these seven eras, these seven seasons, there would be one big season of tribulation. And those that God was for would somehow be raptured up, and those that wouldn't would stay down here. And then after that, there would be a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth when Israel would be reconstructed to its glory. Now, interesting, the word rapture doesn't come from the Bible. It's from this era, from John Darby. He kind of thought of this word, and they were very concerned about when the end would come. Now, you all would say, oh, that was, you know, a couple centuries ago, but we still have pieces of that anxiety, the Left Behind series, lots of things like that. And now there is this group of evangelicals and Likud people in Israel that have a strange alliance waiting for that end time to happen. They think when Israel comes back, we'll know God's reign is complete. So we still do have that anxiety. And then there are those that are kind of, have just like, they don't show much interest. And I have to say, I think that's kind of us in some ways. We read this passage and say, that's lovely, but I'm not going to pay that much attention to it. Let me get to John the Baptist next week, and maybe you can move me to some of those lovely little baby Jesus passages. We kind of have apathy for it. We're not too interested in it. We want our Advent to be about that cute little baby Jesus. And we live in this past, but it's not the real past, because, you know, the story is he was born in a barn. This is not a good place to give birth. And soon after he was born, his family had to flee to Egypt. They were refugees because there was death coming. It's not a gentle story, but we kind of want that. Give us the past that we think it is. Well, Matthew has a word to those that are anxious and to those that just kind of have apathy. To those that are anxious, he says in these first verses, the angels don't know when I'm going to come back again, neither does the Son. Do you get it? There's no way you're going to know the day that God's reign will be complete. Give it up. Stop trying to figure it out. And I think the writer is saying, stop trying to figure it out, because when we start worrying about that future, we don't pay much attention to what was going on. He knew if you're trying to just wait to get out of it, that you're not going to care very much for the widow and for the orphan, for those that are needy in your midst. You're just kind of going to live to that future and forget living out in the present. He says, no, you're not going to know. And to those that are apathetic, who think, oh, it's really not a big deal, I don't have much of concern about it, the word is be alert, watch, be ready, because you're not really going to know. So you have to be paying at least some attention to God and into God's world. And the truth is, I guess you could say, to sum those two up, I lived in Texas where they believed in bumper stickers, and there was one that used to say, at the rapture, or when the rapture comes, this car will be unmanned. Anxiety-ridden. And then after, there were some other bumper stickers that said, when the rapture comes, can I have your car? Kind of the apathy piece, a little bit of each. And I think this passage really is saying to us who kind of go on that apathy piece a little bit, wake up. See, there's one pastor who would really say that we've kind of fallen asleep. We are not paying very much attention to God in this world. We think every day will kind of be like the last day. Yesterday will be like today, and today will be like yesterday, and the same day like that. Month after month, we don't expect much change in the world. We don't expect God to be here, and we come kind of dull. We're sleepwalkers, and the passage says, be alert, stay awake, so that you can live out God's compassion in the world now, so you will follow Christ now. The passage is trying to get some urgency in us, some sense of, you don't know when God's coming back, so don't try to hedge your bets and just be good when you think it's going to come. But how do you live in a way that says, I am ready to do God's work, to be God's people, whenever? Tom Long says, it's like if there's a, you know, a flood's coming in 10 minutes, and in your house you got a raft and you got a Rembrandt, you're probably going to pay attention to that raft because you know it's coming. The passage is saying, why don't you act that way now? Why don't you be prepared? Why don't you be ready? Because you don't know when God's coming again, but it could come at any time. It's an interesting idea. The passage is really saying God created the world, and God will be at the end of the world. So we're in this in-between. It's not a bad place. We know that there's God here. We know that's God here. And how do we live in this in-between? Not being overly anxious, but not being asleep either. So the passage says, wake up, be ready. So maybe during this Advent, you start paying attention. You start living your life with an urgency that says, how do I do God's work here and now? I'm not going to wait until next week when I start reading the Advent devotional. I'm not going to, you know, be a better person later. I'm going to work on what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, right here and now. So the sense is, if God, when God comes back, that maybe God will recognize us. Wouldn't that be an interesting concept? It's like Tony Campolo once said, I don't know when the end time is coming. I'm not on the planning committee, I'm on the welcoming committee. That's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be on this welcoming committee that lives out God's reign here and now. You're not waiting for a time. It's how do I be a follower of a Christ now? In this in-between time, that is not easy. I want to tell you that. There are hard times in your lives, big and small, but you are to be a person of faith. You're supposed to have that open, compassionate heart of Christ now and be living it, and don't wait. It's like a pastor in New York City, you may have heard about it, Abyssinian Baptist Church. It's big and it's in Harlem. And it's not in the part of Harlem that's become kind of popular. It's in the really dire part. But they had a pastor named Calvin who had some passion about the area. So that church did food kitchens, but more than that, they started a bank so people could actually deposit their paychecks in the area. They made sure there were groceries, green things, so people could actually eat. They clean up vacant lots. They do aftercare programs in big high-rises. They are active in the community, and they got a lot of people. And people wondered why they didn't move out to a better place, to a place that wasn't so dangerous, to a place that wasn't so crime-filled. And he said, no. He said, I'm here. And people asked him, why don't you leave? And he said, here's what. We have the Bible, and we know how it ends, and we're here because we know how it ends. See, he was staying active in that place and living out his faith because he knew they were in the in-between time, but we build up God's reign here and now. We are active in it. It means that we put our trust in God, that we don't wait, that we act like we're prepared, like we're alert, so one, we can recognize God, and so we can act like we know Christ. Some would say that God is still here with us now, that there are holy surprises and holy moments all over the place, but you got to be alert or you'll miss them. So you're supposed to wake up. The word coming that we talk about Christ coming again, the Greek for that means coming alongside. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We're waiting for Christ to come alongside us. I think Christ comes alongside us now, and we wait for that magnificent time when God's reign is. So how do you act awake and alert like Christ is alongside you now, so you are Christ alongside other people? Wake up. Be alert. It's this first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the new year in your life. One pastor asked the questions, "Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect." How do you deal with a piece of advice like that? Well, why not be ready all the time? Not only at the end, but ready for whatever the moment brings. Every morning you wake up and decide that you will live the life God has given you to live right now. That you decide to live like you know Christ. Refuse to live yesterday over and over again. Resist the temptation to put your best self off for another time, for tomorrow. Don't put off living right now, but live fully in the moment, in this present. There is no time to live like it could happen later, no matter how much time is left. Go ahead and make a decision, write a letter, say you're sorry, help someone in need, find love, give yourself away. Why waste time making preparations for the end time when you can live now? Live prepared. Live a caught-up life, not a put-off life. Wherever you are, standing in the field, grinding, grain, waiting for the bus, doing your job, why not act prepared now? Be ready for what God has before you. Be not afraid, it says. Let Christ come alongside you this Advent. Wake up, for God is in our midst.